We were so glad to see a good lady go down in the water in the name of Jesus this morning. By the power of God and His sacrifice, 2,000 years ago, a sacrifice was made on Golgotha. And when she went down in that water this morning, that blood was in effect in her life and covered every sin. And there wasn't anything left uncovered. And everything she had ever been or done was buried in the water. And according to Peter's analogy, it's just like the flood of Noah that washed away the sin of the earth. It washed away her sins. And so we're glad today for the sin cleansing power of the name of Jesus. I'm glad the gospel still works. And I'm glad that the name of Jesus is still powerful. And I'm glad there's still a refuge and a hiding place. And I'm glad that the power of the Holy Ghost is still greater than he that is in the world. I'm so glad tonight that we can call on his name and he answers. Praise God. Appreciate all the good singing and the worship and the prayer. And we just are glad tonight. You want to continue to be in prayer with all of these poor people that are still recovering in Texas and these that are being battered this very night in Florida. And there's another one on the way. I read somewhere in Luke 21 about waves roaring, and I read about earthquakes increasing, and a big one took place this week on the backside, the Pacific side of Mexico, and these things are going to amp up. You can expect those things to increase as we go, but we're not troubled. The song of the church in the end time is, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And so, and he said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't get all caught up in things around you, but lift up your head and let God minister. And let God be God in your life and be the church of the living God. These people need light and they need hope. And you've got the answers tonight as the church. We're going to read tonight in Revelation chapter 18. And just the first five verses, we'll just kind of see what goes forth tonight. Revelation 18, and we're making our way through the New Testament. We're now down toward the culmination, the last few chapters of the book of Revelation. And these things are set. The table is set. These things are moving in the earth right now. And we are glad to be the church of the end time. And we're excited about the prospect of what God is going to do. I believe Joel 2:28, that in the last days saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. These are going to be great and heady days of prophetic fulfillment and revival. And we are blessed to be a part of an end time church. It's kind of an exciting ride. A lot of the church is already in heaven. And we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And they're cheering you on, and they're saying, come on, you can do this. We did this. They did it under the heel of Rome, and they did it during the Dark Ages, and they did it under the heel of the Vatican, and they did it during the Spanish Inquisition, and they survived, and they thrived, and they preached, and they testified, and they were faithful in the midst of all sorts of trouble in the earth. But the gospel's the same. And the message is the same. And the church is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Praise God. Revelation 18, beginning in verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. If you love his word tonight as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we worship you, Lord God. And we're thankful, oh God, for your word and for the goodness of it, the richness of your word in this house tonight. Somebody say amen. Now, this morning we were working chapter 17. It's about the woman that the scripture calls the great whore that sits upon many waters. It identifies her. She is a religious institution with global impact, historical impact. She is guilty by chapter 17 of having committed fornication with the kings of the earth, and all the earth has been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, these terms, harlotry and adultery and fornication here, these are spiritual terms. These are symbolic terms that have to do with the fact that someone of a spiritual entity is involved in something that's not faithful to God. It's not adultery here because she's not married to God. She's not God's wife and she doesn't belong to God. But she poses as someone. But when you get down to it, her idolatrous activity is called fornication, because that, even though our world has forgotten these terms, that is sexual experience outside of wedlock, which is forbidden by the word of God. If you have iniquity in your life and you're involved in a sexual experience outside of marriage and you are married, it is specifically called adultery. These are defined terms in the word of God. When Israel ran around on God and was idolatrous, God said she had committed adultery, because she was God's wife. But this woman in 17 of Revelation is committing fornication because she's just a loose woman. She's not married to God. Israel was a loose woman, but she was married. So the term is different. She's an adulteress. So this woman in chapter, are you okay? This woman in chapter, some of you with little kids are going to be, tonight I got stuff I'm going to have to answer. Well, just read to them out of the book. Keep your definitions lofty. Don't project your adulthood on the child when you're answering the question. So, this woman, according to the word of God, has global impact. And as we dealt with it this morning, she has paved the way and is paving the way. She was involved with Hitler in World War II. What were the Axis nations? They were Germany and Italy and Japan. But Italy was there and the Vatican was there. Italy was there and the Pope was there. Italy was there and Catholicism was in bed with the Nazis. And this goes on and on. And this happened during the Spanish Inquisition. And it happened in Rome early on in 3rd and 4th century. And she has defiled the word of God and changed the gospel and turned things upside down. And she created Mary worship. And she created infant baptism. And she created sprinkling. And she created the Trinity. And it's not found in the Bible. None of these things are. And she taught her people to bow to idols. Everywhere you go on the earth, she has idols in the house and on the wall and outside of the house. And when the people come, they bow. They genuflect. They bow to those idols. They are preconditioned to bow to the Antichrist system, because he's going to have an image. The scripture said they're going to make an image to the beast and make that image both speak and come alive, and the people are going to bow down. This is all about worship. Hell wants your worship. Hollywood represents hell. It wants your worship. All of these sports stadiums, they want your worship. And you say, well, that's just harmless stuff. It is not. You've got people who would never darken the door of a church, or if they're in church, they would never lift up their hands. But in a ball game of any type, they lift their hands. They wave their hands. They lift their voice. They leap. They dance if it gets good enough. But somebody's picked their pocket and told them that worship in church is irreverent or unseemly. But I want you to tell, I want you to remember that the Word of God is our tutorial for life and for worship. And we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And we enter into His courts with praise. And the Scripture says we lift up our hands in the sanctuary. And clap your hands, all you people. And shout to God with a voice of triumph. And praise Him with a timbrel. And praise Him on high-sounding cymbals. And praise Him on loud cymbals. And make a loud noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and praise Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It needs to be a holistic thing. You get your body involved when you really worship. That's why they're completely involved down at the stadium. That's why they're completely involved with the things that they pour their worship out on in the world. And so she has preconditioned her, those that are under her dominion, she has preconditioned them to worship. And I've been in places in third world countries where they come bringing their vegetables and their flowers and worshiping the gods that their ancestors worshiped in the mountains generations before, maybe millennia before. But now since the Spanish, for example, have come to Central and South America and they brought with them Catholicism, then they built great cathedrals. But the people still come bringing their flowers and their vegetables to worship the gods of their ancestors, the gods of the mountains. And all they did was put a collar on the witch doctor, and he became the priest of that cathedral. Of that, you say you're making that up? No, I've been there. I've seen that. And the missionary said, don't take pictures of him. He's a witch doctor, and they'll stone you. You say, well, they won't stone you. I stood in a back street of a barrio in Manila, the Philippines, and heard a little priest standing there, and he was telling the people to stone us, to stone us. But we had people as far as you could see lined up for prayer, and the sun went down, and we couldn't pray for them all because they were hungry for something more. But that priest was telling them to stone us, and if he had the power, he would have done it himself. We're not worried about being politically correct. We're worried about being biblically correct. I'm not worried about hurting your feelings. I'm worried about you going to hell. You begin to give a little here and give a little there, and you get homogenized. And the edges get worn off, and you're not fit for anything in the kingdom of God. And you shelve the gospel, and you shut down your testimony. And they want him out of the school, and they want him out of the other public places, and they want him out of the town square. And he's not correct anymore, and he's not politically palatable anymore. And so if you don't watch yourself, you'll be sensitive to the dominant culture around you, and it'll shut down your light, and it'll close up your salt, and it'll make you inept and impotent as the people of God. And you'll just be like Israel, one through the centuries without any impact on their world. But that's not the calling of the church. That's not the calling of the church. The church is called to disrupt the world. The church is called to shine light in the dark place. The church is called to turn over the tables of the money changers in the house of God and say, this is not the way that you do business with God. She is Romanism, she is Catholicism, but she goes all the way back to Babylon. That's why chapter 17 calls her Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots. And if she is Mystery Babylon, what has she given birth to? Well, the Pope, on several occasions, not this one, but several throughout the decades. And you can, this is so wonderful now because you can just sit there and talk to Siri tonight. Siri, what's the city on seven hills? And she'll say, Rome. And the scripture says, and this is a city that sits on seven mountains. And she gives you clues. We won't go back all through that tonight. We did it this this morning. But she goes back before Constantine, and she goes back before the inception of the Holy Roman Empire and the Roman Catholic Church. She goes all the way back to the rebellion at Babel, and Babel is the beginning of Babylon, and she is called Babylon, and it's the same system of rebellion and false gods and alternatives to God and to the Word of God. But you don't want an alternative to God, and you don't want an alternative to the Word of God, because there's no power that won't change your life, that won't answer your ultimate questions, that won't help you in your family, that won't make a difference, that can't set you free. But friend of mine, if you get down into the real Word of God and not an alternative, some people have turned their back on religion, turned their back on church because it's never done anything for them. I'll tell you something tonight, you come down to an altar, you let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, you let us baptize you in Jesus' name, God will do something phenomenal in your life. Is there a witness in this house? So 17:2, she's affected the whole earth, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They have lost their inhibitions. They've lost their sensibilities. They've become numb as drunks become numb. They call this wine with purpose. 17:15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. She has authority and power over people, nations, multitudes, and tongues. And so she has a global, she has a universal effect and an awareness. The last bastion in the earth of awareness of God was America. Europe is flatlined. Europe is gone. But now God is no longer welcome in America's schools. He's been cast out of the town square. Rulings at every level of government are consistent with anti-God, or if you would, anti-Christ. The only true and remaining witness of the Word of God is the Apostolic Church. It is larger than it's ever been. It covers the globe. It's found in every nation. By the way, that's a prophetic tripwire from Matthew chapter 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, sweetheart, it's already been in every nation, and everybody's already heard, and the witness has gone forth. You can scratch that one, along with Israel's return, along with Ezekiel 38, along with a lot of other things. Your list of things that have to happen before he comes back is getting pretty short. But in every multitude, in every tongue, she is there. But in every multitude, in every nation, in every tongue, we are there. The church is there. Everywhere she is, we are. The church, when you see it in John's eyes from the last chapters in the mid chapters of Revelation, they are around the throne in heaven, already taken up to be with God. And they are from every nation. Every tongue, they are multitudinous, and they are just like this description. So she's there, and the alternative is there. And the sorcery is there. And her controlling influences are there. But out of every dark place, God is plucking souls. God is gathering his harvest. God is touching the lives of men and women. And all you got to do is be hungry for this. And it doesn't matter how dark the day, how terrible the world around you, God is well able to deliver to the uttermost. Somebody say amen. Now, back to our text in Revelation 18. And the angel that John hears cries mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. And specific to chapter 17 is a discussion about Romanism, Catholicism. But when you, by the time you get to chapter 18 in Revelation, It's broader than her. It's like when the scripture uses the city of Sodom as a representative name, and at one point he will call Jerusalem Sodom, because Sodom becomes a negative and a pejorative that can be lifted and become representative because it's widely known and applied to somebody else, like the spirit of Jezebel. It's not Jezebel herself, it's just the same spirit that she had. Sometimes it's applied here in the letters to the churches in Revelation. The spirit of Jezebel is alive in those churches. And Egypt has become a representative name and label. And so Jerusalem sometimes is called Egypt, but you know it's Jerusalem because he says, and that's where the Lord was crucified. And so you understand that Babylon can become a representative name. And now it's lifted off of Babylon proper. And in chapter 17, it's applied to Romanism or the Roman Catholic Church or to the papacy. But it's broader than that because it's ageless and it's filled the entire earth. And so as we're reading in Revelation chapter 18, you have to broaden this discussion out of a city and into the entire earth. But Babylon the Great, the angel said, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And she is all of that. It's not just Romanism. It's the spirit of hell in the earth, polluting the hearts and the minds of people, using venues that are just coming at you from every direction. Everything this world has belched up has one agenda in mind: to capture your heart, to capture your mind, to separate you from God, and to drag you down into hell. She is the habitation of devils. It's not just Rome now. It's the whole world system. The hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This world that we're living in is noxious and dangerous and full of every evil thing. This is not a healthy spiritual place to live. And sometimes, especially in America, because it's so peaceful here and it's so easy here, we sometimes get lulled into a false sense of spiritual security. But I heard Larry Booker stand behind this pulpit and tell you that in his experience, he's had people from third world countries come into California, and they've lived for God with passion and with excellence in a third world setting. But when they got to the opulence and the affluence and the ease of this American experience, they lost their minds and they lost their souls, and they went out into the world. There are things here more dangerous for your soul than a bullet in the Congo. There are things here more dangerous than the Taliban or Al-Qaeda in a Middle Eastern setting, because you can be lulled into a place of ease and sleep in America. And America has drunk of the wine. And America is a cage for every hateful and unclean bird. And America is full of the influence of these things that have come out of Babylon, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. He's described her. He talked about her in chapter 17. Now he's showing you her destruction in chapter 18. But in the middle of it, he says, now come out of her, my people. Come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. This seems to indicate clearly that God yet has people in Babylon. He does, because the church is in the middle of Babylon. The church is in the middle of the world. We are called out of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Have you read the Word of God? And so here we are in the mix, but I'm going to tell you, wherever Babylon is, with all of her sin and all of her history and all of her paganism, wherever she is, the church is there. The church born and the church yet to be born. The church alive and in the flow of the moving of God, and the church that is yet to be born. She is in Babylon. God has, and here he's calling her, come out of her, my people, that her plagues not be visited upon you. And there's a call for God's people to come out. Babylon has penetrated every culture. Spirits of idolatry, things that separate people from God, they're in every nation, they're in every government. And God is calling his church again to come out. In the day of Abram, it was come out. In the day of Noah, it was separate yourself. In the day of Israel and Moses, come out of Egypt, come out of there. And in the days when they were in Canaan and they were involved with the people groups around them, the message was separate, come out from among them and be ye separate. And God is calling his church again. This calling never stops. This calling is always present. Separate. And we don't just separate from the world. It wouldn't make it a difference if you just had distance between you and the world. You could go live in a cave and live a life of solitude and be separate from the world around you, but that wouldn't help your estate with God. We don't separate from the world, we separate unto God. Huge difference. We separate unto him. As we draw nigh unto God, as we draw into the kingdom of God and become more like God, we, by nature of that relationship with God, grow strange to the world around us. And the world around us doesn't recognize us, and we don't know them. God's calling his church to separate. Our culture is in convulsion. The world is in convulsion. It's a dangerous time all over the world. It's a prophetic time. It's a time for revival. It's a great time. It's a transitional time. Institutions are failing, and people are losing confidence in institutions. Our world is descending into chaos, and the Antichrist is going to be their savior. He's going to catch them. He's going to build them. But thank God for the church. Thank God for the gospel tonight. Thank God for the truth. Been doing this for 43 years, but more than ever, I am glad for the church of the living God tonight. It's better, more dear to me tonight than it's ever been. I loved it when I started, but I love it better right now. I loved when he gave me the Holy Ghost, but I'm glad when I felt the Holy Ghost moving in the service today. I'm glad to be alive in these days and in the church of the living God. The church, if you would, as the kingdom of hell is anti-God or anti-Christ, the church is anti-world. The world is all about hate, and the church brings the banner of God's love. The world is about dividing people. The church is about bringing people together, not indiscriminately and on any basis, but under the banner of the word of God. Unity doesn't mean a thing if you're a union of thieves or a union of liars or a union of sinners. But unity has to do with not you and I, not a condition of peace between us because we don't value anything. But unity, biblical unity, is something to be desired. The world is self-destructive. But the church builds everybody. Can you look back over your history in the kingdom of God? Can you say tonight, can you testify that God has lifted you and God has built you? Are you better than you were when you came into the kingdom of God? Is God shaping you and building you? That's pitiful. Are you glad that God's built your life? Has God done anything good for you? Praise God. Operative term in the New Testament is edify, edify, edify. Edify your children's husbands. Edify your wives. Build the kingdom of God. Edify. Build up. We are come out of our surrounding world. We are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're not caught up in the frenzies. We're not caught up in the debates. We're not caught up in his passion, because Babylon is everywhere and Babylon fuels all of that. Keep you distracted, keep you busy, keep you energized, give you a cause, stir your passion, separate you, divide you, appeal to your baser nature. It's what Babylon does. Every day there's a new cause. It's dysfunctional. It debilitates you. And at best for the church, it's a distraction. The world champions causes that are dead. Dead causes for dead people. God said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. When Mary came to the grave trying to find Jesus, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? My question to the church would, why would you seek life out among the dead? Why would you seek life out among the tombs? They're not alive. They don't have God. Why does that tickle you? Why does that energize you? Why does that excite you? You're looking for something alive in and among the dead. Why seek you life? Why are you looking for purpose among the tombs? Why seek you purpose among the dead? Why seek you mission among the dead? Young people always looking for purpose and something real in their life. Find that in the kingdom of God. Find that in the word of God. God alone knows you. He knows your purpose. He knew you in your mother's womb. Find your purpose. Find your mission in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. Church, keep your eyes on God. There's so many baubles and bangles and spectacular things around us. Something new every day. And the news cycle comes at you like a flood. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your speech oriented toward God. Rally around God's things. Rally around things that are eternal. Be stimulated and excited. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Don't give your heart to every little flim-flam that's going on around you on a daily basis. Don't yield up your heart and your emotion and your passion to things that don't have eternal consequence. Don't give yourself to decaying temporal structures, social causes, political causes. That's not for you. That's for the world. That's for the dead. That's their world. That's their cause. God's got something greater, something higher, something far better for you. Do you understand that? Do you know that? We have to be really careful as we walk through our world that we don't allow old strongholds to resonate with the noise that we hear around us in the world. You can lay things down on an altar. You can bury them under the blood. You can get yourself squared away with the word of God. But as you're walking out in that world, there's enough noise that sets up resonance with you and the thing that the world is following after. You have to be very, very careful. Let me tell you tonight, God's people are not the standard bearers for the causes of the world around us. We are not the defender or the voice for Antifa. You say, well, that's anti-fascist. That's good. That's not good. That's Babylon. They are violent. They are in the street. They are godless. We are not the spokesperson nor the standard bearer for Black Lives Matter. We are the church. That's Egypt. That's outside. And don't start a political cultural argument with me about it. I don't have any patience for it. You're an idiot. Come to the cross with me. Let me show you what matters. Come to the Holy Ghost with me. Let me show you what God is able to do. We are not proponents of socialism. We don't carry water for Democrats. We don't carry water for Republicans. We are not involved in that. And if you get involved in that, you're involved in Babylon, and it will sap you of your passion, and it will rob you of your journey. It will steal from you what you could put into the kingdom of God. Well, you don't care who gets elected. It, friend of mine, it doesn't matter who gets elected. The electoral process is not going to bring revival. The electoral process won't heal the sick, nor raise up those that are broken in sin and bound up by those things. Nobody ever was elected that had the power of the name of Jesus. I read in the Word of God, it said, pray for them. Pray for them if it's Ronnie Reagan. Pray for him if it's George Bush. Pray for him if it's Bill Clinton. Pray for him if it's Barack Obama. Pray for him if it's the one that's in there right now. Pray for them, because the Bible said to pray for them. But we don't get caught up in that, because that is toxic for the church. That is divisive for the church. I don't even like it. I don't even like it in good humor when you're bumping up against one another for Alabama or Auburn. I don't like that. I don't like it because it cheapens the unity of God and the kingdom of God, the precious thing that God has purchased for us. We don't let anything come between us and the brethren. We don't let anything come between us and the people of God. We don't let anything get bigger than the cause and the calling of God. And somebody ought to just shout about that for a little bit. That's Babylon. She's coming down. This is the church. She's going up. God's people, we're not proponents of LGBTQRXZY. You laughing, but it'll be here. I don't know what it is, but it's coming. You say, well, are you against same-sex marriage? God's against it. But let me just give you a brief. I'm not going to give you a biology lesson, but I am going to give you a lesson in logics. Marriage is a certain thing defined in a certain way. What society has done, they've changed the definition of marriage. If you can marry a man, you can marry a goat. And if you as a man can say, I'm a woman, you could say, I'm a duck. Oh, that's specious and that's not real. You are insensitive. I am not. I am logical. If you can tell me you can change your biology by a thought. You know what all that is? That's the undermining of what God has set in place. God made you in his image, and God is not a duck. It undermines. It's against God, so it's anti-God. It's anti-Christ. All of these issues of the day, this, you're waiting for the Antichrist to come out in big robes and the Antichrist is here already. Paul said it was up in his day. It was all up in Greece and all up in Rome and all up in Persia and in Babylon. But every time it tried to rise and dominate the world, God pushed it down. Not yet, not yet. Thessalonians says that he's being restrained until that restraining hand is loosed. And now that restraining hand has been loosed. And now he's on his way, but it's already here. And everything that's anti-God is anti-Christ. You don't want to be found around that. You don't want to be involved in that. You don't want to buy into anything that separates you from the people of God or the Word of God or good godly behavior. You don't want to pour out your passion in something that's empty and vain and pointless. So then we as the church, we're not involved in all those things. I'm a news junkie. I always have been because I want to know what's going on in the world around me. My first experience in school was in the school of journalism. I wanted to be not only a news junkie, but a purveyor of the news. But I just got to tell you, we are not standard bearers for the sons or the daughters of the Confederacy. I don't care if they have a statue or they don't have a statue. It doesn't make any difference in the kingdom of God. Well, no. You have to have an opinion about that. You have to have an opinion about that because you are, well, you're a nice shade of deep brown, maybe mahogany. Now, your hair is black. But you got to have an opinion because the whole world thinks you got, it's like Antoine at the Fiddler's Convention. Did you know about Antoine at the Fiddler's Convention? Antoine went to the Fiddler's Convention up somewhere in northwest Alabama. You know the town? Sheffield, something like that, up there. And, he knew it was in Athens. You've been to the Fiddler's Convention. So Antoine was there. And I'm just going to tell you, by the nature of the place and where it was, I'm going to suggest to you that he was truly a minority there. Because there weren't very many handsome apostolics there. See? You're all biased and prejudiced and... See where your mind went? She's got you already. Babylon is at work in your head. But he met a lady that assumed, because he was a nice young African-American gentleman, that he was all sold out for Barack Obama. And he told her otherwise. And why? She went and got her husband. She was like the woman at the well. Come see a man. She said, come see this young man. It was like you were a space alien. You're like, where did you come from? And then you started talking and they heard your voice and it was all over. We don't want to buy into, listen to me, the thin edge of the wedge, the camel's nose, the slightest penetration of these things is an open door for pollution of the precious things. We need to, when you read about in the Bible about you being armored with the armor of God, and walking around Zion and looking at her bulwarks and looking at her walls and being a good soldier and being diligent and being fervent and being careful and being zealous and all of those things. You think those are loose, cheaply chosen words? Those are specific and strategic words. They're telling you that if just a little bit of Babylon starts moving in you, Jesus taught that the kingdom was like leaven in a loaf and that it would spread. But later he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, because their doctrine, their philosophy, their idea is like a little bit of leaven, and it gets in you, and then it gets on your brother, and then it gets on your neighbor, and before it's over, the whole loaf is leaven. Beware the leaven of Babylon. We don't want to carry their banners. We don't want to promote their ideas. We don't want to embrace their doctrines. I don't want to be involved with Babylon on any level. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands. I'm about done. So the scripture teaches that we're aliens and strangers in this world. You really need to be that. Take that to heart. That's not just lip service. We don't belong here. We are strange. You need to stay strange. If you're too comfortable and you fit in too well, you're probably not living this at a very high level. The old song always comes to mind. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I have an allegiance, but my allegiance is to God's people, to His word, to His church, to His agenda, to His kingdom. Can you say amen? That's where my allegiance is. It is bigger. This is bigger than ethnicity. This is bigger than culture. This is bigger than your family. This is bigger than philosophy. This is bigger than politics. This is bigger than everything Babylon has. This is bigger than what you came out of. You got to extract yourself completely. Don't bring that junk in here and track it up in the house of God. If you're on social media and you're involved in these things, get rid of your social media. Wash your feet and then come back to the house of God. But don't bring in the contaminant of those things into the house of God and into the people of God. Somebody say amen. In my thinking, it's worse than pornography, because pornography is a disease that'll destroy you as a person. But these things have the capacity to spread from vessel to vessel. On there talking and chatting and joining in and get opining and using it as a little stage to tell the world what you think. Sweetheart, the world doesn't care what you think. But as you handle those things have contaminating power for your Holy Ghost experience. You need to get away from that. If you can't control it and you can't get a distance, if you can't use that social media or that phone or that pad or that computer for something constructive, get it out of your house. Get it out of your life. Don't be a part. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, we don't take sides. Tell them, we take over. When the angel came to Joshua, Joshua drew his sword and said, are you with us or against us? And the angel said, nay, but I am here as captain of the Lord's host. He didn't even bother telling him which side he was on, and he wasn't on Joshua's side. And this may surprise you, but I'm not on your side. I'm not doing this for you. I don't live what I've lived for 43 years for you. You are a derivative. Don't get me wrong. I love you. Glad you're here. Wish everybody would come to church. And I'd do anything for you. I'm glad I got one friend in the house. I'd do anything for you, Brother Warren. But it's a higher thing. It's him, and it's got to be about him, because if it's about you, you can disappoint me. You can fail me. You can break me, but he never will. And so it's always got to be focused on him. I'm going to do the right thing by you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm going to do my best for you. But it's because of him. Everybody say amen. Let's give him a little praise. Let's bless his name. Samuel, come play. Or somebody come play. Oh, somebody else is coming. Now what I need. So I'm asking you tonight, disengage from the political debate. Disengage from the social media debate. Use it for good. Use it for the gospel, or don't use it at all. Amen. Don't try to, by artifice and some anonymous posting, create some sort of a personality online that has no relation to who you really are. Fakery and lying is what that is. That's not you. Be real. God wants you to be real. Now, this is just a convergence. But I notice convergences. They are interesting to me. In the last couple of weeks, we've had in my thinking, some very disturbing things happen in our church family in the city. And I remember stepping out on the front porch in the 90s with Brother Bert when I was teaching him and a couple of his buddies from med school Bible study. I remember stepping out on the porch and hearing gunfire and answering gunfire. It was pretty hot here in the 90s. Had a high murder rate, a lot of shooting. I remember being back by Cotton Avenue, back behind Princeton. I forget the guy's name. You'd know him, Warren. He had a motorcycle. Duck, not Duck. Anyway, we're back there behind Princeton. I mean, it sounds like Vietnam. Boom, ba-boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, boom, boom. And I wonder where they are, how far it'll carry, and what direction they're shooting in. But I knew it was drugs. I knew it's like you might catch a stray, but they wouldn't mean to kill you, if that makes you feel any better about it. But there's some things going on in Birmingham right now that are going on in our country. Something is trying to separate and divide and break apart, and by doing so, control. There's anarchy in the streets. There's the undermining of everything that God and His Word supports. But these are the things that concern me. We had a young man down along the parkway, right down through here. And there were some guys, he made a turn off into a neighborhood, and there were some guys standing on the street corner, and a guy looked at him and saw that he was ethnically different and went, pow, pow, pow. You say, well, that's harmless. No, ma'am. No, sir. I've been here for 30 years. I've never had anybody point an imaginary gun at me. We had another young couple coming out of a restaurant, and there was a lot of noise and racially charged language directed toward them. It's getting bold. It's getting out of its shell. They may have been murmuring about it under the cover or out in their circles, but they're taking it out to the street now. We had another young man just getting gas, and a car full of trouble rolled up and started screaming at him about going back to his own country, which is pretty laughable. Born and raised right here. It's like, here I am. But the guy comes out of the back seat with a gun. This is where we are. Our city needs a church that knows how. Listen to me. We're not playing this. This is real. People are getting hurt. People are getting shot. People are being harassed in public in ways that I haven't seen since the 60s. And in the 60s, they were burning cities down. That's what's moving in our world right now. But I'm just going to tell you, as a church, we don't belong in that circle of conversation. We don't belong in those areas of debate. We don't take part. We don't take sides. We don't represent. What we represent is the kingdom of God, and that's all we represent. That's who I am. That's my color. What's your color? I'm the color of the kingdom of God. Sister Sutton read a really good book here recently, and the little boy was asking, what color is God? She said, God's like water. God's just like water. Doesn't have any color at all. It means so much to Babylon. It doesn't mean anything to God. What color are you? I'm God's color. What What's your politics? My politics are God's politics. God voted for Bill Clinton twice back in the 90s. Really made me sit down and shake my head. You gotta laugh, friend. All of these things are important to Babylon, but what's important to us, it'll become a distraction for you. It can become debilitating for you. It's totally spiritually dysfunctional to be involved in these things. So draw close to the altar. Draw close to God. Drink deep of the agenda of the kingdom of God. Get yourself primed. Get yourself ready. God's got a calling. God's got a ministry. God's got a job. But if you're wandering around pouring your passion out on foolish things and empty things and vapid things, you'll miss your moment. You'll miss your calling. You'll miss the intersection with the miracle of God. Let's all stand together. Babylon's going down the rest of this chapter. She goes down. She goes down so hard it makes the merchants weep. The whole world stands off at a distance and watches her go down. And there's a whole half a chapter there that's a lament about how she's going down. You don't want to invest yourself in things that have no future. You want to invest yourself in the kingdom of God. Praise God. I want us, this was good, Stephen, tonight that you had the young people come on down front. Come on down to the altar. And let's open this altar now for everybody in the house. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, tonight would be a good night. If you've never been baptized, tonight would be a good night. But I want some folks that have been dancing with the world and spending too much time with Babylon. I want you to pour some things out on an altar. And I want you to separate yourself. Come out of her, my people. And be separate. There are plagues coming down on her. Don't be part of that. There's a judgment coming down on the world. Don't be a part of that. Don't let the good thing God has planted in you be defiled by what she is and what she's doing. Rather, separate yourself. Become totally given to the things of God. Come on. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's press. Come on down close. People are coming behind you. Lay your hand on somebody. Take somebody by the hand. Let your prayer go up before God tonight. If you've been anything other than what God's called you to be, repent of that tonight. Let God wash you tonight. You know, and then let the Holy Ghost pray through you.
Together we will work till He comes. There's no foe
that can defeat us.
We're walking
side by
side
as long as there is love.
We will stand.
I need some elders. I need some people that walk in the Holy Ghost. Lay your hands on some of these young ladies, some of these young men.